Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of the Temple of Hoop podcast. We are back after a week off. Hope your holiday was fantastic. Whatever you celebrate, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever your thing is, hope it was great. Blessings on the new year. I am here as always with the bro Kings. It is his birthday today. Kings, happy birthday. What is going on, my guy?
Finally, happy this horrible NFL season is over. You can look at the off season.
I'm about 1 week behind you, so you feel me? Let me enjoy this last 8 days, really, because they put the cap was a Monday Night Football for everybody to see. You know, we can't even hide. Here's backing us up again. The homie Jordan joining us again. What is going on, Jordan? What's going on, my guy?
I'm chilling. My football team not much better than Kings, so you know, we both out here. I was telling Jason before we went on, I was like, man, the Raiders are about to trade for Aaron Rodgers this offseason.
It's McDaniels. Everybody's all in on Brady. It's all in.
I said Brady don't cost nothing. He's a free agent. That's what I was saying.
He's a free agent. McDaniels scheme. He knows McDaniels scheme like the back of his head, you know, back of his hand. So
it's just the weapons are elite. The weapons are elite.
The weapons are elite on offense. So it's just an easy fit.
Ooh, shoot. They got to fix that offensive line and that defense, though.
The offensive line, not an issue. You know, fast processing helps the offensive line. We were still we were still okay, even with – and we have some guys hurt, too, that's going to come back. And we definitely going to get some pickups, a few, you know, we got some nice picks. So we got 11 to 13 picks, 66 M's of cap space. So, I mean, you know, hey, I tell everybody – next year, the Super Bowl in Vegas. I told you the script is powerful in the NFL, fellas.
Hey, man. All right. Back to the hoop thing. We start off Lakers showing signs of life. Thought they were dead. Five-game winning streak. Listen to this, guys. Within that five-game winning streak, second-best net rating in the NBA, second-best offense, 13th-best defense. They beat the Hawks, Hornets, the Heat, the Hawks again, and then the Kings. The schedule does get very tough through the rest of this month. They play the Spurs and the Rockets are the only two non-playoff teams that they play. It gets really tough. I'm very interested to see how they respond. They got Denver tomorrow, but things are definitely on the up and up. Obviously, LeBron James is a story over that the winning streak, 38-9-8 on 58-27-77 shooting splits. In addition to that, we'll circle back to that. Dennis Schroeder in the same yes, time frame, 21-4 on 51-54-88 shooting. Thomas Bryant, 21-14 on 72% shooting. And I'm going to mention this guy because we're definitely going to circle back to this when we talk about potential trades to further, you know, kind of fortify this roster. Russell Westbrook, 16-9-7 on 44% shooting and the highest plus minus on the team in that time frame, which was very interesting to find out when I was looking deeper into what the Lakers were doing. But obviously, let's circle back to LeBron. Just kind of incredible. He's in uncharted territory as far as an athlete in his production this late in his career. We just have not seen this. But, yeah, man, I'll let you guys kind of take it. Pressure on the Lakers front office for sure to do something after this. But AD's getting healthy. Things are going up. Kind of a weird year in the West between the injuries and teams just not quite ready. Just where do you guys stand? Starting with you, Kings.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers are in a great position in terms of They're definitely one trade away. I think there are times where that felt hyperbolic, but I think based off what we've seen, they're one trade away from being in a mix with everybody. And I think we said that a little bit early. We saw the flashes from when they started 2-10, when they made that crawl back. We're like, you know, they might have something here. And man, this resurgence, I think, of Thomas and Dennis. And we talked about this in the chat. I think Vinay brought up a point with Dennis. Like, when everybody was there, it's like he was just sitting back, you know, because he just didn't want to step on toes. You know, he didn't want to force certain things. So he wasn't as aggressive. You know, when the injuries came, then Thomas Bryant, Dennis Schroeder, they have the ball, right? Because now they have to score. They have to make something happen. And now you see their abilities, you know, get put, you know, in the forefront. And that kind of gets to our point in terms of trading these guards, not even just in the sense that you need wings, you need to like consolidate the guard rotation. You know what I'm saying? Because when all these people are there, because they do so many similar things, it's hard for certain guys like Dennis to get going. When you have Dennis, you have Lonnie, you have, you know, Reeves here and there trying to get his looks. And then you have Russ too at the same time. It's like, you need to cut stuff down, cut the rotation down, so you can have only run certain guards at certain times. So it's like now, the guards who's out there, they're able to get their game off. But yeah, I mean, go ahead.
I like four of the guards. I think that's like Reeves, Lonnie, Dennis, and who's the last one?
And Russ.
And Russ, like, I mean, we'll talk about the rest of the future on the team or go in a few minutes, but like that should be the four guards. I don't think Pat Bev should be in a rotation anymore.
Right. It's just the fact that because they don't have wings, they have to play all of them simultaneously.
Yeah.
Opposed to giving it a platoon, right? Where you have two at a time, and that way they're each having, you know, opportunities to get themselves going without like stepping on each other's toes. So I think that's kind of what you see when you have to play the four guard lineups, the certain my guard lines, right? outside the size issue, you have an issue in terms of production because a lot of these guys, you know, are kind of, you know, redundant skill set wise. So, you know, once they get that wing, you know, that wing is just really going to be big. And then Thomas Bryant's just been he showed these flashes before the injury, and now he's completely played himself back to the trajectory he was before he got hurt. That's basically what you're seeing at this point with Thomas Bryant. Again, shout out Modern Medicine. They've, you know, he got his surgery, he rehabbed back, and now he's looking back to where he was before he got hurt. So great pick. They bet on that, and it panned out. So the Lakers, I mean, it's kind of crazy because just 2 weeks ago, we were like, man, a lot of these guys wouldn't be playing on other people's rosters. But when you look at the way these guys compete, it's like, you know what? Some of these guys can contribute. You know what I mean? Some of these guys can play here and there.
Go ahead, Jordan.
You two said that. I said
no. No. That's what I'm saying. Like, we said it. You know, me, Maple said it. But it's like,
I still feel that way. It's just LeBron is playing out of his mind. But you know what? Dennis will probably be the guy. Like, you know, Dennis can crack a lot of rotations, but
bro, it's surprising that nobody took a flyer on Dennis Schroeder. Like, Dennis Schroeder would be probably the fourth best player on the Bucks.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be serious, right? Like, that's the kind of guy that they're missing. So it's like when we're thinking of Lakers trading to upgrade their roster. Well, I think Max Christie has some good positive value because he's looked really good. But it's like, obviously, are they going to play him in a rotation this year? Maybe not. But he adds some incentive to trade for somebody. Because if you trade for Pat Bev, because I think Pat Bev is going to have to be, he's going to be the guy that's going to be traded for salary cap to get rid of the salary. You have to throw in a guy like Max Christie, right?
Yeah. My hope is that they end up not moving Reeves. I'm sure people asked about Reeves before Christie, but my hope is that they don't move Reeves. What'd you say?
I don't think they trade
Reeves. Okay. I think it's the only thing they did the same thing with Reeves' contract, that they made the same mistake they did with Caruso, where they didn't add the year where you get his bird rights.
So let's think about this. PJ Washington, Charlotte Hornets. You trade Max Christie, Patrick Beverley, that 2027 first-round pick for PJ Washington. Do you do it?
No, hell no. You can take that package and go get Kuzma. And that's a way better trade.
Trades for Kuzma over PJ?
That's a much better trade, in my opinion. That's a much better trade.
Well, the thing is, Kuzma has some familiarity with LeBron as well. That's the other thing, you know.
Familiarity, that plus he has the build, the athleticism, the two-way type of play that they need. I would go with Kuzma.
I mean, I don't think PJ's like terrible defensively. I mean, I don't think Kuzma's great defensively either. I don't think either guy's great defensively.
Well, the thing is, I've seen Kuzma defend.
Yeah, we've seen.
That's the only thing. You've seen Kuzma play defense at a high level when that was his role.
That was his role. I have not seen PJ do that ever in his career so far. So
PJ plays for a team that doesn't play any defense at all.
That's fair.
But if you're going to defense tonight, though. So if you're going to invest, but I'm saying if you're going to invest resources, you need to invest in somebody you know has done what you need them to do. And Kuzma has done that before he got better.
So would you trade Christie, Pat Bev, and the 2027 first round pick for Kuzma?
That's too much, in my opinion. You can just give them Bev.
Because, I mean, all these teams, they know they have leverage on the Lakers, right? Like what?
Well, the thing for me, the better the Lakers continue to play, the leverage goes. In my opinion, the leverage starts to dissipate a little bit because there's no desperation to make a move. You know what I mean?
Lost Kings.
It's all good. But I wanted to ask you, Jordan, before we get him back. So I saved Russ's name for last. That was the big name as far as the trading went, right? My thing is, over this, you know, short resurgence, he's been very impactful positively. So does moving him, does that kind of reset what they do, or what? How do you think that works?
I mean, at this point, I don't know if you could trade him, dude.
That's what he said. That's what I was like. And obviously, he's going to be the ticket because the salary's so big. So yeah. He'll be he's the ticket to breaking stuff down into more players because his number's so high.
But if you get because honestly, if you think about it, the West is so wide open, right? That I don't think the Lakers need such a big trade to be contenders because you have, if you have a healthy LeBron and AD, especially the way LeBron is playing right now. Like you can go to the finals. You can contend for the finals. Like we've seen it. They played a good game against the Celtics, right? The Celtics are the best team in the East, hands down. So I don't think you need to trade Westbrook. What you need to do is you need to package out Beverly, which you and Kings have already said needs to happen, right?
Yeah, it's gotta be. I think Pat Bev is out of the rotation at least, and his number also at 13 gets you perfect. a serviceable player back. Kings, I was just asking him. You know, we mentioned Westbrook as far as trades. His number's so big. That's the key to breaking stuff down, breaking a player down into multiple pieces. But he's been a positive part of the resurgence of the Lakers. Have you changed your position at all? Whether they need to move him or if it's the right deal you do, or do you have to keep him now? Where are you with that?
It's up to them. I mean, it's up to the front office because the smart thing to do is to move him, right? Because you can get more with his contract than you can anyone else, right? The smart thing would be to move him and to move Pat Bev and to move Kendrick Nunn because at this point, they're just expiring contracts. They're literally just contract piece. They're literally just salary filler for teams to just take on, right, at this point, right? So it's really you're just moving the picks and those salary pieces. So
you can keep Westbrook and you could trade Nunn and Patrick Beverly in that 2027 first round pick. You can get a quality rotation piece.
Oh, you can definitely get a quality wing.
Is it the same value though? Because I feel like Westbrook's playing well enough where his value is a little higher than what they get you.
It's the same value. I think either way, if you wanted a wing, Nunn and Bev puts you in the Bogey salary range. It puts you in the other Bogdanovich salary range. It puts you in the Kuzma salary range. So if you want that wing, right, that quality wing, and you want to keep Russ, you can just flip, you know, those two together and you get that wing, right? It's just if you want to swing for a bigger fish, which is probably what they are trying to sell to people, right, then you would think about holding on to do it with Russ. But my thing comes down to this, bro. At the end of the day, do they want to go over the cap? Like, that's really just what it comes down to. If they don't want to go over cap, literally everything we're saying does not matter. Like, they just won't trade anybody.
Yeah, I just the Wild is like, it's still the easiest trade to me. The one trade that I was 100% in favor of, you could saw me like a Miles Turner, whatever, the Indiana trade was always the best one to me.
Now, Jason, you got to get over it.
But it was to me that was always the best trade.
I thought it was until I seen Thomas Bryant do this. I don't think it makes sense to do that at this point.
It was not at this point. I'm saying before the season, because you can call it a contract year or whatever. Miles Turner's been incredible. He's a borderline all-star center this year. Indiana's a good team.
See a block shot on the Plumlee.
Yeah, he just does stuff defensively that Thomas Bryant just can't do.
Of course.
In the preseason, that was always, should have been the move that Indiana was rumored to be on the table.
Indiana's becoming buyers in front of our
eyes. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, becoming buyers now. So I think that's even off the table. But
shout out to Wally Szczerbiak, old all-star Tyler Halliburton.
But yeah. So I think the most interesting thing that came out of all the Lakers stuff this week was LeBron's comments about, you know what the F need to be done. How did you guys interpret that? And then honestly, when somebody tweeted the article out, LeBron did walk it back a little bit in terms of his frustration being expressed. But I think the damage was already done. Yeah, Queen shaking his head. I think the damage was already done. So what did you interpret that as?
This was vintage. Remember, I've been asking for this for a while
now.
This is vintage GM tactics, planting the seeds and walking it back. The usual, he did that so many times in the second stint Cleveland. He'll say something, then the next, he'll be like, oh, no, I didn't mean it like that. I was just saying, no. He meant it like that. What was said was meant to be said. He was just doing damage control this morning. But, hey, look, I've been hearing some things. It's funny. One of my mutuals, he put out a trade thing on the Twitter. I was informed that was something that was being molded within an organization. And then Lord and behold, 2 hours later, reports coming out that GMs are preparing for LeBron to request a trade this summer. So that is something that teams are actually preparing for internally. People are expecting this to happen. And I think the reason why people are expecting this to happen, and I think the reason why LeBron said what he said, is because I think everybody understands that Jeannie will not pay the repeater tax. I think that's what it comes down to. She will not pay the repeater tax. And if you're showing your two stars that you don't want to pay the cost to compete, they will leave.
Look, I saw the Spring Hill ENT IMDb production page. You ain't leaving L.A., man.
Bro,
they got projects going to 2025, man.
And you can have those projects, and he can play in New York. He can play New York, and they have those projects. I'm just saying.
I hear you.
This is the thing with LeBron, is that he wants to play with Bronny, right? That's his ultimate goal. He said it numerous times. My goal is to play with Bronny, and then I'll ride off into the sunset. So he has 1 year left on his deal. He wants to compete.
Now he extended. Remember, signed extension.
Yeah, it has a player option after this year.
1 year.
It's really 1 year, because after next year
he can opt out.
Yeah.
It's 1 year. So at the end of the day, he said he wants to. He feels like he should be competing for championships, and he should at this level. I mean, this is incredible what he's doing at 38, right? So for him, it's like, if I'm playing at this level, I want to play with my son. I'll go wherever I need to go the next year, trade me. And then the year after, I'll go play with Bronny wherever he's at.
No, that's real talk. Like, you have, like, in his mind, it's like, before Bronny comes to the league, I have one chance to compete for a title. Just completely just go out and go win one last championship. Because obviously when Bronny comes, he's going wherever he's going. It doesn't matter if that team is good or not. He's going to go there. So it's like, I have one chance to actually compete for a title next year.
And he's playing at that high of a level that he should be competing for a championship.
And if he goes to a contending team, that team will be a favorite. If he gets traded to a contending team, that team will be a favorite. He knows that. GMs know that. That's why they're preparing for him to ask out. It's this simple. He will not waste next year. He's not going to. If the Lakers do not make a trade, he is requesting a trade. At this point, based off the sound bites, based off what people are saying, based off what other GMs and players doing, it's a done deal. If they don't make a trade, he's gone. He's gone. He has one more year to compete. It's not being wasted in Los Angeles trying to fill seats for Jeannie Buss. He's not doing that.
Well, just Evan Mobley, Donovan Mitchell, and let's see who else fits in the salary. Give me Evan Mobley. No chance.
I mean, do they want Ben Simmons, Cam Thomas, Joe Harrison first? We'll see.
They make that trade.
It's going to be Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday.
You think I'm a part-time Pelicans fan now? They do that trade? I'll start speaking with a New Orleans accent on here, boy.
Hear that. You got to do it right now.
Sorry. Not for no damn Ben Simmons. You out your mind. But he will not be the centerpiece of a LeBron James trade. I know.
LeBron to Milwaukee for Chris Middleton.
Huh? Nah. Did you see Ben tonight? I saw Ben tonight. Exactly. No. But yeah, man, I think the Lakers do have to bust, in all seriousness, do have to bust a move. And just that's the thing. When you have stars this late in their career, it's no need to play to try to play two timelines. You go all in. Go all in. And then, you know, you can reset after that.
Yep.
So that's how I feel about it. You know, they've shown you that they're ready to compete. They've played up their end of the bargain. Also, before I'll be remiss not to, man, shout out Darvin Ham, man. He takes the most unnecessary flack for that front office's shortcomings all season, and he just takes it on the chin. But he has had a lot to do with giving guys outside of LeBron confidence and putting guys in position to succeed. So, you know, shout out Darvin Ham.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Moving on to Darvin's old team. Let's start with the Bucks. We're going to let Jordan take this after I just introduced some things. The Bucks, 27th in net rating the last 10 games, 4-6 overall, 17th in D, 29th in offense, second worst offense in the NBA the last 10 games.
Yeah.
Before the season, I was out on the Bucks. I said, I think Giannis is the best player in the league. I despise that roster on the perimeter outside of Giannis. Holiday starting to show his age a little bit. It's tough for smaller guards over 30. Middleton hasn't played much. When he has, it hasn't looked great. He's still got some time to get his rhythm. But
he hasn't played.
Yeah, it's just – whoo. So Jordan is a Bucks fan. Jordan, let us know what is wrong with the Bucks.
Oh, my God. Where do I start? Man, I mean, this team just lacks athleticism. From top to bottom, outside of Giannis and Marjon Beauchamp. And for some reason, Marjon barely cracks the rotation. You know what I mean? And, like, when he is in there, he does good things. So at some point, Bud is going to have to realize, like, the kid's got to play. You know what I mean? Like, I have to play him. I think there's some chemistry issues right now. I think some guys are disappointed with their roles. I think Javon Carter, you know, I think he deserves to be a key rotational player. And I think he's, you know, disappointed with his in and out of the rotation spot. I think obviously we lack athleticism. I also think that outside of Giannis, there isn't a shot creator, which is huge.
That is.
You see the offense go. I mean, against the Toronto Raptors, they're up 21. Giannis goes out. They blow a 20-point lead in 2 minutes because they can't get a shot. You know what I mean? Like, it's an issue. It's an issue. You know what I mean? And obviously, Chris Middleton's not playing. But at this point, I don't know if Chris Middleton will ever play again.
Man.
You know what I mean? Because it's knee soreness every fucking day. Oh, sorry. Excuse my
name. It was for the kids, baby. Continue.
Every day, it's knee soreness. It's knee soreness. But, bro, at some point, it's the same thing with the Clippers, dude. Like, at some point, these guys got to play together, dude. And if they don't, we have an issue. And I know Giannis, Middleton, and Drew won a title together. But, dude, this is it's becoming a huge concern that Middleton cannot get on the floor. And Giannis has to exert all this energy. And we saw it against the Hornets the other night, dude. He literally, for the first time in his career, I saw Giannis give up. Like, he was like, bro, I'm tired of this shit. Sorry, excuse my language again. But he was like, dude, I'm tired of this. Like, every night I got to come out here and be Superman. I'm done, dude. Like, y'all got to help me. And he gave up. Dude, he had 9 points in 22 minutes. He literally, first time in his entire career, I saw that guy stop playing. First time.
It was so bad. I remember Paul asked me, Paul was asking on the timeline, is Giannis hurt?
It's just, I said it before the season. I do not love this Bucks team. I think that game seven with Boston is still in my mind where I was like, dude, Giannis is the only guy who belongs out here. And to be fair, Lopez was just coming back. So on the interior, I love the Lopez, Portis, Giannis, like that 5-4 combination of either or. I think that's really good. Perimeter wise, they just have nothing. The guard, like, you can't have guard play that bad and be a serious contender. I think the outlier is you got the best player in the league. He can extend series, win you games, but when it's money time, it's just real tough without a lead guard. I think the best hope is you hope Holiday and Middleton recapture some magic from a couple years ago. But I just the roster, man, like, you depending on, you know, Grayson Allen, Javon Carter. These are guys that, like, the Nets gave up on Javon Carter, bro. You know, just like
they needed Dennis, man.
Yeah, they like a Dennis Schroeder. A Dennis Schroeder would have worked wonders for this team. Yep. You know, it's just
Javon Carter's look great in spots, right? But, you know, to rely on him consistently.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's just that he's not that he's playing, you know, underwater in that role. You know, it doesn't suit him. So what's the next step for them? You know, do you know Portis obviously has some value. I know you love Marjan. Do you move him for some help now to extend Giannis's window? You know, he was a highly touted draft pick. People love his athleticism, his upside. What's the next step for Milwaukee?
Well, you know, I said this a couple of weeks ago. I don't think there's a move to be made for Milwaukee to really solidify themselves as a contender unless, you know, the Nets get injuries, which Kevin Durant left today. You know, obviously you have 34. So, you know, as long as you got the best player in the world, you always have a chance. But I don't know if you mortgage the future with Marjan or any draft picks to get better, because at the end of the day, I think Giannis is smart enough to know he sees the writing on the wall.
Huh.
He's going to ask out. I don't know if he does it this summer, but he may do it next summer. He's too intelligent, dude. And he brought a title to Milwaukee. He doesn't know Milwaukee anything.
That's the other thing. Once you bring that title, you don't owe them.
And I guarantee you, if, you know, the Bucks lose in the second round this year, I guarantee if he asked for a trade, I guarantee the city of Milwaukee would be like, I don't blame you, dude. And obviously, I don't live in Milwaukee. I'm a Bucks fan outside of Milwaukee. But to blame him for the shortcomings of the front office, like, John Horst, everyone wants to put him on a pedestal. But, I mean, he inherited a great roster.
He did.
From John Hammond, right?
Where did they go wrong, you think?
Well, I think first of all, they gave up way too much for Jrue Holiday, and it's hard to say that because they won a
title. That's a lot of.
I believe they won a title, so it's like
you were like I'm just thinking about that. The Pelicans like flipped a quarter of that for CJ McCollum.
I mean, you won a title, so you can't really.
You're right.
It's whatever, and like if Giannis the Bucks hadn't won a title since 1971, dude.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. 50 years.
It's like, at the end of the day, did they trade too much? Sure, in the long run, if we're playing NBA 2K. But if we're looking at real life, dude, they won a title. You know what I mean? And they're still competitors every single year. They're contenders because of 34. So as long as 34 is on that roster, you just got to make him happy any way possible. So whoever he wants, I would just be like, yeah, sure. Like, you want all your brothers on the roster? Okay. Cool. Like we'll add them.
Black nepotism, baby. Go ahead, Kings.
I think the Bucks are in the same issue the Lakers are in. The front office has to decide, do they want to win now or do they want to build for the future? And if you want to save your money, you want to, you know, not mortgage your future, then you have to trade your best players. Because these are guys.
Who are the Bucks going to trade? They can't trade Jrue or Chris. Who's going to trade for those two?
And that's my point. So if you know you're strapped, if you know you're stuck, like the Lakers feel like they know that they're stuck and they're, you know, handicapping themselves, then you have to free the guys that you have on a team that you know are trying to win and trying to compete at a high level. You can't hold those people hostage. You can't hold it. And they won't allow themselves to be held hostage.
They're not going to trade Giannis until he asks for a trade.
But that's my point. This is a trade request era.
Yeah.
This is a trade request era. Players are not scared to ask for trades. And that's why you're seeing this campaign from LeBron. Like, he has never formally requested a trade. But, hey, if things don't go, if they don't do what they need to do.
I just wonder if it's in Giannis's.
I was just gonna say that. I don't know if Giannis is gonna do that, but you guys absolutely. I don't know if it's in him to do that.
Yeah, you know what? But you know what, guys? We said a lot of people wouldn't leave certain teams until LeBron finally did that and left.
That's
if
fact.
LeBron requests a trade for the first time in his career, nobody's gonna be scared to request a trade at all.
That's facts.
It's just that scene.
Yeah, I don't. You guys, like in theory and total theory, you guys are 100% correct. I just seeing how Giannis moves, I can't see it. But you guys, in theory, you're 100% correct. That this really, is that era.
Don't fall for the branding. I love Giannis. That's my Niger boy. Do not fall for the branding.
Hey, remember when Kobe asked for a trade though? You know, it's similar. Like Kobe won two titles or three titles with Shaq. Then said, if y'all don't upgrade this roster, I want out. I mean, the same thing could happen with Giannis. You know what I mean? Like, and Kobe is his idol, right? So it's similar to.
I mean, he said it. Kobe and Bron is out. He said it out his own mouth.
Yeah. Well, so, we'll see. I can't see.
I don't see it either. But dude, he has to, bro.
Like, I'll say the stranger things have happened. I'll say that.
I don't see how Milwaukee can upgrade this roster at all. Like, there's very slim possibilities. Like, they're talking about waiting for Jay Crowder, but what does Jay Crowder do?
You need a shot creation. Yeah, that's crazy. I don't even know what this one to get into what a Giannis trade looks like in his 20s, bro. Like,
it was the same thing I was thinking about when I say if LeBron asked out, you know, AD asking out, and I couldn't even fathom what that trade would look like. So imagine Giannis, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm like. I don't even,
Nine first rounders, dude. Yeah.
I can't even.
All right.
Giannis to the Thunder.
I'd rather see him in Dallas. Him and Luka could just break the league.
I would love to see him. But this has nothing to trade. What are they going to trade?
Yeah, I know what I'm saying. That's the other thing. I don't even want to get into that. Moving to back to the other team in LA, the Clippers took their sixth loss in a row tonight to another struggling team, the Hawks.
I hate this.
And the deep dive I went on the Clippers is nasty.
Oh my God.
In this six game losing streak, 28th in D, 26th in offense. Second worst team in basketball via net rating over this stretch of time. It all their advanced stuff screams out. They don't ever play together. And to me, that is their issue, and it's finally caught up with them.
So yep. All to their fans, man, this sucks. It's a good thing you got Steve Ballmer as your owner, though, which they've been.
Because he gonna catch whatever it takes. He's like, well, I'll pay it. But yeah, but it's every single analytics screen that there's no continuity, no minute continuity, no rotation continuity. Guys can't get a rhythm playing. Guys get high usage one game. Then Kawhi and PG come back. They get no usage or no touches or whatever. That yo-yos back and forth. They can't get a rhythm. Their numbers suffer. If this continues, Jerry West has done, he's a big move. But I could see him doing something drastic. Like, not Kawhi, PG drastic, but,
executive, Jason, are you trading for Kawhi at this point? I wouldn't.
With the Clippers, they have no inside presence whatsoever after Zubac.
Yeah, but Jason, are you trading? Like, who, if you're an opposing GM, are you trading for Kawhi or PG's contract?
The best trade they have is Paul George.
But are you trading for those contracts?
I'll say this. Kawhi's looked a little better the last couple weeks. But
he's still averaging 17 points per game. Or 16.
I'll tell you this. He was on a minute restriction. If you look at the last couple weeks, it looked like he's playing a lot better.
It's
still on a minute. Dude, when has somebody ever come back from an ACL and right themselves from the rip? I guarantee you, in a couple months, Kawhi will be the least of their problems.
But Jason, this is the problem, is that we have this aura that we love who the Clippers may be. But No.
That's absolutely true. But the thing is, I'm talking about Kawhi. Myself, in a couple months, Kawhi will be the least of their problems.
You might be right, but at the end of the day, it's like we keep thinking about what the Clippers can be.
Not we. I've been jumped off that train. Not we, but yes, people have.
He said, I jumped up. But that's the thing, is like, okay, so at what point does Kawhi come back to who he is? And at that point, when he comes back to that person that he was, are the Clippers going to fall in line with that?
My thing is, they have to play together. Like, that little, like, I'm like, it's going to curb. Like, maybe one of them, you got to play this back-to-back, bro. We need you to play the next 15 so we can get some rhythm, bro. Like, we can't rest you. Like, I know the Clippers thing is just, it's fine. We'll do whatever in the regular season. Just be healthy in the playoffs. I don't know that necessarily – is that proven – like, think about it. Is that proven to work? Even the last four or five champions, they had continuity throughout the regular season.
The only person who was pulled that off was LeBron, and that's because he ran the offense basically himself, right, on the floor. So, you know, it's the greatest of all time running heliocentric ball. You're not going to be able to do that with, like, Kawhi Leonard.
Last year's Warriors, everybody played, started out 18-2. You know what I mean? Before that, the Bucks, guys played a lot.
Yep.
You know what I mean? The Lakers, remember they got up to that great state. They got to that great start. Everybody, before the pandemic, that team was rolling because guys were playing. I don't think like that stuff where you just need to get to the playoffs healthy and we'll be fine. I think that's a very outdated and misleading concept because
I think it works if you played together before.
Okay.
I think it works depending on who your best players are.
True.
That's when it works, right? It doesn't work if your best player is somebody who has rarely played in the past.
Yeah.
It doesn't work at that point because that dude has never played on the court for an extended period of time for the past three seasons. So you can't do that, right? If you have a guy who's been to deep playoff runs, like Kobe was, like Shaq was, like LeBron was, like Duncan was, when you have guys who've been to deep playoff runs every single year, then yeah, those guys are like, you know what? I don't care about this game in December because I know what we're going to need to do in January. I play every single year. Right. Not a guy who plays like 40 games a year and you're like, oh, we'll be fine. We go to playoffs. How do you know? He doesn't play.
And I mean, that's the shit that, like, if you look at all their advanced, then, like, it screams like this team doesn't play together. Like, that's literally all it is.
Yeah, bro. I mean, they're literally.
You know what's wild to me? What's wild to me is, and this is why I stopped live tweeting games so much. Like, they're calling for Tyronn Lue's head, bro. Like, yeah. I was like, this one, like, it's like, it's like, that's been the biggest turnoff for me as far as live tweeting basketball games. Because the first thing something goes wrong on any NBA team,
coach.
I was like, bro, I was like, Like Ty Lue, really, bro? Are you serious? Like, he's the reason. Like,
Jason, in any sport, the easiest thing to replace is the head coach. Like, you can't replace the entire roster.
Yeah, you're right. But I'm thinking as fans, you should take a step back. Like, you know what? Their best players rarely play.
Fans are the most irrational. Fans are the most irrational.
So I look at it like this. Like, you asking a coach to manage a situation where you got two high usage, high volume players who are in and out the lineup. So guys' roles and minutes fluctuate literally game to game. Yep. It's hard to manage that night to night because you don't get any consistency anywhere. You don't know who's going to be who.
Yep.
That's why I think Lue, like, it's a tough job right now because you can't get those guys to stay play consistent. And some of it is like you just, bodies are breaking down. Like, some stuff is out of your control. Being injury prone, you get past 30 in the NBA, like, stuff happens. That's why we're about to celebrate LeBron's point record so, like, lavishly, is because that longevity is something to be, like, revered.
I mean, if you see the way players are looking at that man, LeBron is a lot of people are rooting for him to leave LA because in their eyes, like, LeBron is the standard for the current generation. And they don't want to see that guy be wasted like he is right now. You know what I'm saying? So LeBron and a lot of people, I mean, he like a lot of people say, he's our, you know, quote unquote Jordan, right, of this era. So it's like that's been the face. Draymond has made the comments like it, like you said, that longevity. Who knows? I mean, Luka even said like, I'm not trying to play for 20 years because
Luka don't take care of his body, so he ain't gonna.
But that's my point though. Like, you see it with these guys in and out of lines, these guys taking injury. Right. I mean, somebody made a threat. Like, LeBron has it to down where his circadian rhythm is down to a pattern. Like, literally, the circadian rhythm is down to a pattern. That's how serious he takes taking care of his body. And I'm just not sure we'll ever see something like that. Like, you just
that's why I said it. So, like, when somebody was like, yeah. A total record is not that impressive. I was like, guess it is, because despite, not only are you showing that you are, you know, proficient, extremely proficient at a skill, you're showing that you have the longevity to do it more than anybody else.
It's incredible. Like,
not that impressive that somebody averaged 27 a game for 20 years straight.
That's what it's like.
Only one player in NBA history has averaged over 25 points per game for 12 straight years. His name is LeBron James. Right. Not even Michael Jordan.
For 20 years. And he did 27 for 20 years, man. Like,
it's crazy. It's insane what he's been able to do. And people don't understand that because everybody wants to hate on the guy. I don't know why. Jason knows why.
I'm not getting into it, though. I'll tell you all.
But Jordan, I think when that record break, I started to see, because, you know, I've gone into the arguments on behalf of Clutch, but I started to see, you know, a lot of people are really turning because a lot of people are just saying, like, man, this guy almost 40, he's still averaging 30. It's incredible.
I love Kobe. I love Kobe Bryant, man. I got a Kobe poster, you know, right up there.
Yep. Jordan, Kobe.
You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, what LeBron's doing is unprecedented, dude.
Literally, yeah, sports spirit.
Unprecedented. It's incredible. Him and Tom Brady, as far as like doing what they do at the age that they're doing, on a level of their own. And I hate Tom Brady too.
Yeah, I had to give that a, I had to give that fight up too. So
Kings getting the jersey next year.
I sold the soul already, man.
They can't give Tom Brady Rich Gannon's number, dude. What right. is,
yes, we can. Yes, we can.
No. 40, yes, we can. Dude, come on now.
All right. Shifting to the final part of the show. We are, every team has played 40 or 41 games, which means we're at the midpoint of the season. Yes, and we are going to do the four big awards: MVP, Sixth Man, Coach of the Year, Most Improved Player, and the Defensive Player of the Year. Let's start with the let's start with the Most Improved Player. Jordan, who you got?
I got Lauri Markkanen.
Oh, 22
on the year. It was between him and Shai, but I mean, Shai, to be honest, like, he's upped his scoring, but everything else is kind of mid or the same. And a lot of it's because he's shooting a lot more free throws. Not to say he's not like driving the ball more or anything, but Lauri, I mean, 25-8-2, up from 55-1 last year.
He is good, and he's flirting with 50-40-90.
Yeah, everything's up across the board for that man.
You guys know what's crazy is right now you can get Lauri Markkanen, most improved player of the year, plus 200. You're getting value.
Is that valuable? Is that much value right now?
Yeah, because Shai right now minus 100. He's a favorite. I don't know why though.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, I think if you're a gambler, I'd hit that Markkanen button right now. We have no debate on that.
We're all on Lauri?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty clear. I thought
he was the only one on him.
I had Lauri. Lauri, Shea was number two, and then Kevin Herter was number three for me.
That's just until
Desmond Bane plays more games.
I think for me it was Hallie was probably after.
I had Hallie number three too.
I had Hallie after Shai.
Hallie's having the first 2010 since Chris Paul.
LeBron
might have had 2010, but yes. I think it was like for the first like point guard to have
the guard, yeah, point guard, yeah, yeah, yeah.
First point guard to have 2010 since Chris Paul. That's historical. So I wouldn't mind that at all.
Was it Russ? I thought it was Russ.
Oh yeah, Russ triple double. You're right. I'm sorry about that. I completely blew my mind. My fault. You're right.
Yeah, Russ and Harden. I know they had the same year.
Right. Let's go, Sixth Man. What you got, Jordan?
Bobby Portis. Averaging 14-10 a year. Offensive rating with Bobby Portis on the floor, 111.7 without 109.8. He's third in double-doubles in the league.
That's why I picked him, too. I was like, wow, third double. He was my pick, too. Who you had, Kings?
I mean, you have to lean Bobby because of the winning. I think what's-his-name was doing good. Manchurian, I think? Mathurin's another one to look at. But I think he didn't take Russ. If they win more, he'll rise up. If they win more, yeah, it's just they haven't won, and that's why I'm taking Bobby's because you have to win. Yeah. Like Sixth Man of the Year is generally goes to a team that's very competitive that has a good, great Sixth Man. That's normally how they award it. So
because Russ right now in the market, runaway favorite for Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah, I think because if the Lakers end up top six, I think he'll get it.
Because Vegas is predicting a trade to be made, and they're predicting the Lakers to finish in top.
It's not Vegas, it's the market. The market.
But I'm saying like the market is logic is that there's no way they're gonna waste AD and LeBron. Like that's the conservative, you know, prediction for right now.
I think the market's thoughts are that Russell Westbrook's obviously a bigger name than Bobby Portis.
Right. Of course, and there's that too.
In the market for people listening, the market has no dictation on who's going to win because these are all voted on.
Right. So
we have no idea. The market could be way off on these awards.
Right, I got it, yeah. And then just right behind, I think Poole's stats are getting a jump because he had to start since Steph went out.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be eligible,
Jason. Yeah, so like, and then but Brogdon was kind of jumping out at me too for the Celtics, kind of holding down one of the best scoring bench units in basketball. So you know, I get Brogdon was also up there for me. Coach of the Year, I think this should be very interesting.
I got Vaughn.
I got Taylor Jenkins.
I have Willie Green.
Yep.
That's what I said. No, I think Vaughn would get it because of just what they came back from when he took over.
I agree.
The reason I went with Green was their Pelicans can't get their two best players on the floor for more than 26 seconds. They're still top five in net rating.
Yep.
And I think the, you know, I had very rosy expectations. But overall, the expectations weren't as high as they were for them to be competing for the number one seed.
Right.
So I think that's why I picked Willie Green. But Vaughn is probably neck and neck right there. And then my third was actually Mike Brown. I thought the Kings were going to absolutely suck this year because they can't guard anybody. And they're kind of falling off. But
still can't guard nobody. That's what
I'm saying. They have a really good, like, I have a great offense. But, yeah, but I'm not mad at Taylor Jenkins either. So that was just my explanation for why I went with Willie Green.
I had Vaughn number two, to be honest. And I thought both of you guys were going to have Vaughn number one, which is why I took Taylor Jenkins. So I wanted to be a contrarian. But I think Taylor Jenkins, first seed overall in the West, I think is huge right now. I mean, this is me betting right. This is me saying right now.
Right. Yeah, it's obviously fluid.
If the Nets somehow find a way to be a top two seed, I don't see any reason why.
Yeah.
Coach of the year.
Like, I mean, that team looked dead when Vaughn took over. So, like, I get he's got the, you know, me and Kings talk all the time in previous years. These NBA awards are, like, incredibly narrative driven.
Yep.
And he's got the best story by far of any candidate in that old.
That's a great point, Jason, because that's why it's hard to dictate the market as far as betting is concerned, because these are voted on by voters. Like, you don't know what they're thinking. You don't
exactly know
what they're thinking. Like, we're taking a guess.
Right. All right. Let's get spicy now. Rookie of the year.
Kings.
That's
I'm biased because pre-draft the slander was too much. Pre-draft is Paolo for me.
Yeah, it's Paolo.
I had to stop and think about the young guys. It's obviously Paolo. Like, he's been the best. Like, he's been the best one. Like, I just had to remember who was rookies this year, because it feels like the second year guys are still, you know, in their rookie years, because a lot of them haven't, you know, been injured, been in and out, so it feels like they're on the floor. So I would be like, dang, like Kate and Mobley aren't even rookies. But yeah, it's Paolo, and then the other dude from was it Indiana?
Yeah, Benedict Mathurin.
Mathurin, yeah.
That was my second, yeah.
Myler and Mathurin are the ones who stand out the two most to me, obviously. But Paolo Runaway, I think, is not even close.
Well,
I'll go ask you, who are the odds? Who's the top three in odds right now? After you give us your
top take. Three in odds. Hold on, let me see. Well, I was gonna say Jalen Williams is someone I would look at for the Thunder right now. I mean, he's averaging almost 12 points per game.
Yeah,
he's been balling out, and I mean, I don't know what his furthest shot odds were, but I mean, you probably could have got him at You probably could have got him at like 50,000 to one at some point. You know what I mean? Like, his odds were probably so far out there. It was probably insane. Benedict,
where's Ivy? Ivy's playing a lot better. Where's Ivy?
Let me pull it up.
I feel like Ivy's taking an uptick.
Let me pull it up real quick. Cause I know before the season it was Paolo number one, Chet number two. Obviously Chet gets hurt. And then Jaden Ivey was number three. Let me see updated rookie of the year odds. We got Paolo Banchero -800. I mean, it's basically a runaway. There's no way he's gonna lose.
Honestly, do you guys find it kind of weird that this rookie class isn't really being promoted?
Yeah, I agree.
I think what it is, it's maybe not the star power, but I see a bunch of solid players.
It's a lot of good players.
If not the star power, but the bunch of solid players, like just off the teams I watch most, Jalen Williams stuck out to me. Dyson Daniels, only reason he doesn't play because they have a super deep roster, but he would get a lot more minutes. He's good. Just a lot of just solid players.
Jason and market odds. So we got Paolo Banchero -800. So basically, his to lose. Benedict Mathurin +900. Jaden Ivey plus.
Yeah, I knew Ivey was coming up. I knew Ivey was playing a lot better. Sorry, I saw that.
Jalen Williams +12,500. So you lay 100, you win 12,500. That's a solid bet. Keegan Murray +1,600.
Oh, Keegan.
Yeah, I love Keegan. He just won't get the touches because he got too many guys ahead in the pecking order. All right, defensive player of the year. I have a feeling I know where Jordan's going. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, I got Brook Lopez, 2.6 blocks per game, minus 1.4 differential rating off when he's off the floor. So his importance is definitely there. And honestly, I think the Bucks, the only reason why they're as good as they are is because of their defense, and he's a major part of it.
Right. Yeah, that I have a slightly different one. Mine is, I think Brook Lopez is probably the safe pick, but the team I watch most in the East is the Raptors. I like the Raptors. Like, OG Anunoby is having an incredible year defensively.
Yeah,
What'd you say?
I love that guy. So is Kings.
Yeah, he's having an incredible year defensively, like an incredible. Incredible year. Leads the NBA in deflections. It's like, if you look at the one-on-one matchups, he's holding star players to under 40% shooting consistently. And I like that type of stuff, oozes out to me.
So Jason, guess who's a favorite?
Who?
I got a pick. My pick to win, I don't know if he's a favorite. I got Claxton.
He's rising. He is rising fast. He's probably over the past month. He's probably first over the past month.
Kings. He's not even listed. But who do you think is a favorite to win right now?
It's Jaren Jackson, huh?
Yeah,
the winner.
I feel like Defensive Player of the Year is one of those awards where it's a year late.
Yeah,
like you said,
all these awards are just so narrative driven. Yep. Like, you never know what the voters are thinking. So. If you're a voter, tap in with us, dude. Please let us know what you think. Start on this.
I'm going to get one. We're going to get Tony Jones on, man. Tony, I think Tony has a vote. We're going to holler at him. Last one. Let's have some fun here. MVP.
I think we all got the same person, to be honest.
It's the number one seed right now. Putting up the numbers, you know who it is.
Who?
I got Jokic.
No way.
Oh!
Right now, if you ask me right now, I have to go Jokic. I had KD winning it, but now with the injury thing, that pick gets put in jeopardy. But if we have to stop it right now, it has to go to Nikola Jokic.
No chance.
Who you got?
Yeah, Luka. He's a top four seed now, so he's eligible according to the voters. 34-9-8. I mean, dude, that team literally comes and goes as Jokic.
They do.
Nikola Jokic last game against the Clippers, he wasn't that good, and they still blew them out of the water. Like, he was average.
I think Jokic is the favorite right now. They got, but I don't know. That might change because, like you said, Luka, the Mavs are rising, so that could change.
It was KD for me. Again, I think narrative driven, season turned around, played out of his mind. That knee injury, we'll see what it is. He's getting an MRI to me, which is, makes me a little bit nervous. If you're a Nets fan or a basketball fan, if you love watching KD, that's a little nerve wracking. Second for me, a little bit of a dip off, but I think Tatum just has such a wide margin to start the season. He was playing crazy out of his mind. Also, I think he's a plus defender, unlike Luka and Joker. Why I gave him the nod. But again, I'll say this, when we discuss these things, it's like splitting hairs. It's so close. So it's like when I pick a guy, it's not calling the next guy bad. I just think it's splitting hairs. That's how close it is. This is going to be a very, very tight MVP race. But I had KD, Tatum, and Joker. That was my top three in that order.
We're talking MVP. None of these guys are bad, but this is how the market's shaping out right now. Luka Doncic plus 290, so basically 3-1 to win. Giannis plus 350, number two. Jokic plus 400, number three. Mm-hmm. Tatum plus 400, tied with Jokic at number three. Hmm. And then Kevin Durant plus 900, number four.
Man, if he didn't get his knee injured, I would push that KD number, value-wise.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the value, I mean, we could have got this at plus 1,800 2 weeks ago. Like, I said it.
Yeah, you did. You did.
You know, yeah. I mean, that could have been a waste of money at this point if he's hurt.
And then we'll circle back And, you know, definitely get this at the end of the season. Next week, I want to talk about some of this all-star voting. Some very interesting stuff coming in the first all-star returns. They might as well call it the LeBron and Steph Invitational at this point.
By Jerome being an all-star? Come on, man.
Right. They got it, like, right. So make sure you follow RIP Kings, bro, on Twitter. Jordan Rules, TSP. Jordan, tell us about your other stuff. You got a big playoff show this week with your football pod. Let us know when and where it is.
Jason's coming on. We're going to talk we're gonna talk the Cowboys losing to the Bucks this weekend, or on Monday, I should say. Wednesday night, live, 9:30 Pacific Standard Time. We're going to figure it out with Jason, but Jason's going to be on there so I can give him a hard time about the Cowboys facing the Bucks, because I hate the Bucks, but they're going to win this game, unfortunately. But you can follow us on myself at Jordan Rules TSP, Taproom Sports Podcast. If you're a degenerate, definitely follow us. Jason's going to be on there. We're going to talk some NFL. Kings, if you want to hop on too, bro, power to you, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I have some stuff to say. About Raiders football.
I know.
It will be a great year for us next year.
Okay.
We're gonna talk playoff football though. But if you want to come on, dude, I would love to have you. I would love
I can talk playoff football too.
Let Kings Brown on the Niners, it'll be special.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was gonna get to. I will antagonize the Niner fans. That's my role now for this NFL playoffs. That's what I'll be doing.
So, all right. So, this I'm expecting both of you guys on Wednesday.
I'm on.
What time?
9:30.
For sure.
It's all live, right, too. So it's no recording. It's live. It's live on Twitch. It's live on YouTube. It is live.
Copy that. Make sure you mark that in your calendars, people. Reminder: we'll put it out there if we're on there. You guys be safe, and we are out of here.
You just said you were gonna be on.
Hey man, I gotta keep people in limbo. Y'all be safe. We out of here.